This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
When Hugh started Kogi, there was a guy that opened one called Asian Pussy, right?
What?
Kogi. There's a guy that copied him, but he spelt it wrong, and it said Asian Pussy.
That would fucking sell. That I would sign up for.
By the way, I've never had it. I've heard good things.
Something's burning.
How about taking a shit at 7-Eleven in Tokyo? Those are the fucking most amazing 7-Elevens on earth.
What?
They look like they're as clean as a hospital.
Yeah.
And they're like, they all have a total washlet. So you go into a 7-Eleven and you like thankfully take a shit there. Like it's the best experience. Oh, wow. I would actually say go to Tokyo just to take a shit at 7-Eleven.
Really?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Guys, brand new episode of Something's Burning. I'm here with my two friends, Roy Choi, Tom Segura.
That's right.
We go way back. I would say probably what? I mean, it's got to be right? 15 years?
It was first... 50, more than, you and I, more than that, because we moved next door to you in 2007. So what is that? That's more than 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 16 years.
And Tom and I were broke comics. You were working at Rock Sugar.
Yep. And then I got fired, and then I was a broke cook, and you were a broke comic.
Yeah. I remember on Thanksgiving, you came over... And you told me, thinking about opening like a taco truck, but like fusing like Korean and barbecue. Yeah. And I was like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of in my life.
I was just thinking, you were the first person to ever hear about Kogi. Can you believe that? The way the universe works, like the food truck that changed the industry, and you were the first one with the information.
He also thought you were at the height of your success.
Oh yeah, I thought you were you were stand-up comic. Yeah. Like when we were living in those apartments, I thought that was the high. I didn't think you would go any higher. I thought that was your mountaintop.
You're killing it, dude.
I thought you were killing it, bro.
You mean you can rent a place where you get a break on the rent?
Yeah, exactly. I knew she was the one that was bringing over the check.
Leanne was the landlord.
But she was my boss. Yeah. She was both our bosses. She was the landlord. Wow. And I was just like, man, this guy's going out doing shows. He's like, can't get any bigger. And then you got that Discovery show. I was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, man.
Because it was over. Because Bourdain was on the same network.
Yeah,
and
that was it.
You're boys with Bourdain.
I'm boys with him, and that was like, whoa. Because I hadn't had TV by that time yet. I wasn't on TV. I was like, wow, burnt.
What was the first television you did?
It was like just interviews and stuff. Because, you know, programs. The first show I did, shit.
Was it Bourdain?
Yeah. Might have been Bourdain, like the first major show, being a guest on his Parts Unknown.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was he like?
It's just like you saw him. Really, really smart, really witty, cared. He was a cook at heart, so always on time, always right there with you, had your back no matter what, you know? And he was, because he was so smart, and it's sometimes like with you guys as comics, like, we normal people get intimidated because we think that we have to keep up with you or like maybe you guys are gonna like crush us or whatever in what way. But he was so smart in that same way you guys are quick, like with your minds and your humor. But he never made you feel like you had to keep up with him. Like he would like, he was a homie.
He'd
meet you where you're at, you know, and he was happy to do that, you know?
So I'm bummed I never met him.
Me too. I actually did meet him, sorry, I did meet him. Here, I met him in Vegas.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was sitting at a table right behind me, and I got to say, like, hello, what's up? But that's kind of it, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was there. I was meeting him when Joe met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you were with Joe eating?
Yeah, that was how they actually met.
Did Joe have a show at that time, or was it?
Joe had a podcast, but I mean, you know, it wasn't
podcast
like...
podcast was just...
It wasn't like
fucking
what it
podcast
is.
For you guys as
podcast
comics.
Crazy.
It was like Twitter for me. Dude, changed your whole... I talked to Bobby Lee about it. He was like, man, I'd be fucking broke without a podcast.
Yeah, dude.
I remember when you started doing Twitter, I wasn't even using Twitter yet.
No.
Nobody was. What were you, Big Poppy?
I'm Poppy Chulo.
Poppy Chulo, yeah.
I'm Poppy Chulo. You got Poppy Chulo on Twitter?
Poppy Chulo.
Damn, dude.
Dude, you would put Kogi on, just in case someone, people in, maybe not in LA don't know totally what Kogi is. Can you just explain it for a second to someone that's listening or watching?
Yeah, Kogi is the Korean barbecue taco truck that started with Twitter back in 2008. And
now, at the time, it's 2008, there are not taco trucks.
Well, the iPhone just came out. Well, there are taco trucks in the neighborhoods.
They're
no one was using social media. No one was fusing like cultures together. So it was neighborhood taco trucks and construction taco trucks. So, but at that time, everything was run by like what I say, our elders and our parents and our aunts. And so just like a liquor store, they were just going in every day, running the business, taking care of their kids. But then we came in as the kids. I say we're the kids. We came in as the kids and added technology to it. It changed everything.
But this is
2008. There was no iPhone just came out. Twitter just came out. You know, we were coming off MySpace. Like the world was different.
And you would post. You would post. I will be on the corner of dot and dot.
Yeah.
And then hit it. And then you go to that corner and it would fucking flood.
It would flood.
I remember
flash mobs. They were doing planking at that time. Remember? It was the era of planking and flash mobs. So, like, parking lots would just be, we would, like, it would be like Night of Living Dead. We'd roll up, tweet, and there would be a whole parking lot full at, like, a Target parking lot at midnight, full. We'd be like, what's going on here? As soon as we roll up, everyone in that parking lot would get out of the car and come line up.
Jesus Christ.
It was crazy. It was really crazy.
When did you know that, like, it could go beyond a truck?
It was probably within those first few months. Like, we as a team, we were all like in between jobs, like everyone at Kogi. And then we gave ourselves like 4 months. We started in November and we were like, by the end of February, if this shit don't pop off, we got to go back to the real world.
Yeah.
And by like January, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was like flash 2,000 people on the street, like going from spot to spot.
You were like, hey, you should come do stand up at it.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
You can stand on top of the truck.
I was worried about you.
You'd be like, this one. Yeah.
I was worried about it. Like, that's right. I did tell you to stand up. I was like, yeah, I was worried. That's how much I care.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if you do stand up, we have a line for 2 hours. Just do stand up. There might be an agent there or something.
You were like, famous people come through all the time. And I was like, I don't know about that. And then the next day, I got a text from Steve Byrne going, Vince Vaughn and I are trying to get Kogi tacos. Do you know Roy? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what's he look like? I was like, you, Steve.
Kind of like your dad.
I'm Steve's dad. I'm your dad, Steve.
But it was crazy. Now, I'm cooking for you today.
Yes.
Don't forget, I'm cooking. I kind of just want your chef to just cook it.
He's right there waiting.
We are best friends. By the way, I've been here. I've eaten here. I don't know if I knew that it was yours.
My picture is all over the place.
Yeah, but you know how
there's
it
a
is,
huge
right?
picture of my face. Like,
yeah, he's like, that's just some fucking other guy.
That was your racist. Like, that's just some Asian guy.
I was like, no, we're at David Chang's place.
Yeah, David Chang's.
By the way, you did say we're going to get David Chang's.
Yeah.
So wait, I got to ask you this, though. I'm curious. Do you guys credit, like, the first fusion of Asian food and Latin food or another food? Is that Matsuhisa? Here, is he the first guy that did that?
Yeah, Peruvian.
Yeah, so he did from Japan?
Yeah, he did what's called like Nikkei cuisine, which is Peruvian Japanese. There's so many Japanese immigrated to Peru. And he did that whole with mixing of the lime and the peppers and the soy sauce.
So he's OG with that.
He's OG.
Yeah.
Nobu is like our, I don't know, who's Nobu to you guys? Who's the biggest, no matter how big you get?
Eddie?
He's the Eddie Murphy,
yeah,
right? He's our Eddie Murphy. I was going to say Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy is the shit.
He's our Eddie Murphy. Like, every time every chef gets to a certain mountaintop, we're like, psh, we did that shit, you know? And we look up, and Nobu's there, like, that's floating cool. like this.
Yeah.
Like, welcome.
Can I get you guys a vodka?
What kind?
Why, I'm having Porosos. I've earned my Monday.
Is that what this hat's all about?
Yeah, we are branding horse. Do you guys want a Tommy? Can I get you a? Yeah. Can I get cranberry vodkas?
Why is it Porosos? Because it leads me to believe it's tequila, but it's vodka.
No, it's Tom is Peruvian, so he speaks fluent Spanish.
Okay.
And It's for bears, for the bears.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, so our, okay. Our podcast is two bears, one
yes,
cave.
Yes, of course.
And all our fans are the bears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a blend. It's
You're
like
Peruvian?
Half Peruvian.
Half
Peruvian.
Yeah.
He's a fusion restaurant.
I'm a fusion, yeah.
You're a fusion.
You're a fusion.
Little Pizarro and a little fucking white guy. Yeah.
What's the, did you get any pushback from, like, the Korean community or the Mexican community when you started doing what you're doing?
Mexican community, Latino, Central American, Mexican community in L.A. embraced us. At first, they were like, they were bewildered. They were like, what's going on here?
It's such a crazy.
But they ate it. The thing about the Kogi taco is once you eat it, everything makes sense.
It's so fucking crazy. There's a couple things I remember putting in my mouth.
Yeah.
Is that a bad memory?
Oh my God.
What are you thinking about putting your mouth there?
Along the bone.
And so, but I remember the first time I had it, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it really was so different. And then I remember one time you came over and you were like, I was making scrambled eggs or something.
Yeah.
And you just real quick went into the kitchen and chopped up a little kimchi and sprinkled it in there for me. I go, what's that? And you're like, trust me, I'll make it better.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? And then I fuck with kimchi hard. Like, that is my favorite thing. Because we used to go to the West 3rd Street school.
Yeah.
And all Korean over there. And the moms would bring me the gallon jar of kimchi that their mom had buried. Yeah.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list. With Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. One of my favorite things in the world to do is travel with the girls, and our favorite thing to do as a family is to learn a new language. Tommy and I challenged each other on in Italian. He picked it up so much faster because he can speak Spanish. It's so fun, and it really does keep your brain young. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners. At babbel.com/burning. Get 50% off at babbel.com/burning, spelled babbel.com/burning. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Like,
bro, you know that my wife is obsessed.
With kimchi?
With all Korean food. She makes sundubu, bulgogi, kalbi.
Those are deep cuts. Like, that's the best.
Like when we were in LA, we would only go to like hardcore
Korean,
because we lived in K-Town for a while, and then even when we moved to Valley, there was this place like Grandma's Kitchen that she would all like. So we would go there and be like, if it was kind of the rule, if we're the only white faces here, we'll take a seat.
Yeah.
So like, that was. Yeah.
He took me to a fucking restaurant where they didn't even speak English.
Yeah.
You remember that Korean barbecue on Wilshire?
He was so out of pocket. He was so out of his place. Everything was just like,
I'm not eating the meat. And he's like, you got to cook it first.
He thought it was sushi. Eat raw meat.
We went to a Korean place once where, what was the Dodgers Korean pitcher?
Cheers, buddy. Congratulations.
Thank you. Welcome.
I love watching all your success.
Ooh.
Oh, that's.
This is a cranberry vodka? Is that what we're trying to
do? Okay. Rose awesome. Has got a great taste. It's got a real round. I'm curious. Mm. I would love to. Not to interrupt your story,
Tom.
No. This is how I work now.
Okay.
I'm curious, what were you going to say?
We went into a Korean place, a restaurant, and the pitcher for the Dodgers, the guy pitching at the time, was Korean.
Park Chan-ho. Yeah.
So Chan-ho Park.
Yeah.
So everybody in this restaurant, this is like a authentic Korean place, they were all watching the game and going fucking nuts.
Yes.
And then we walked in, and he was pitching such a good game
that
a older gentleman who spoke like broken English came over and he apologized for how rowdy they were being. Yeah. And we were like, no big deal. We're just eating dinner. And he brought a beer for me.
Yeah.
And then he put a glass and he was like, here you go. And then my wife goes, what about me? And he goes, hey, this fucking broad, she's loose. And then he fucking gave her. I mean, we all had to be back together and watch him. He couldn't believe she wanted a beer too.
Did you say, you said, his name in the Korean way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In Korean, they put the last name first.
I like that.
So Park Chan-ho, yeah. So it'd be Kreischer Burke.
Kim Jong-un.
I wrote a joke and got in a lot of trouble in the community because I go, how crazy is it that he named all his kids Kim? And man, it was like right around the Asian hate time, and they're like,
This is the Asian hate time. I was like, November of 22.
Yeah. And they were mad at that joke?
They fucking lost their shit, and then I deleted it. Yeah. And then once you delete it, they're like scouring anything I've ever done.
Yeah,
and then,
of course.
But that's crazy. I that's how you'd say his name, Park.
Park Chan-ho, but then it's Chan-ho Park, yeah.
For us.
That's crazy. For you guys. So if I went to Korea, would they be like, Kreischer Bird?
No, they just, they
go ahead, say one word, they call me.
I don't know what they call you, but they wouldn't call you that.
So
loud, very loud.
Yeah, loud guy, American. They call you American.
You loud him, you'll
notice him. Loud American.
One of my favorite, I'll tell the story and then I'm gonna start cooking and I'll let you guys talk.
Yeah,
but my favorite story. There's a few I tell of you. I tell the Rock Sugar talking about Kogi. I tell my favorite one. Daughter's birthday, we have it at, God rest his soul, what's his name? Just passed away. Not recently, Campanelli. Good friend of yours.
Oh, Mark Peel.
Mark Peel.
Mark Peel, shout out Mark Peel.
Shout out Mark Peel, great dude. Campanelli, I have such fond memories of that place. They do grilled cheese Thursdays.
Yeah.
Leanne and I would go up, you could afford it, and you have grilled cheese, a couple beers. Yeah. Oh, it's the best, it was right from a block from our house. But for your daughter's birthday, we go and we have dinner there. All the girls are in a private room.
That's right.
And you were vegan at the time. And I said...
Yeah, I was messing around.
And I said, what's going on? And he goes...
I was fucking around trying to find out, you know.
Okay, I hope you found out.
Yeah, I found out.
You know why he did it? And I love this story because he's like, meat's been overwhelming my palate. And I thought as a chef, I should really cleanse my palate and try to find...
That makes sense.
Find flavor again.
Yeah.
And I think of that so much, because I think in like, especially in podcasting.
It's like resetting.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like totally resetting.
Yeah.
It's a crazy, but it's, so when we did this vodka, I wasn't drinking.
Uh-huh.
I didn't drink for like 3 months. And so we had to taste test it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is the best way to taste test it. So I was just pouring it on my tongue and I'd swish it in my mouth and I'd spit it out.
Yeah.
And I was looking, and it was a real way to taste the flavor of it. Because there were some that were spicy.
We picked like, it went through this whole crazy distillation process. They gave us so many samples.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, the 12 variations you first try, we both locked in on the,
same
two.
One.
Yeah,
same
we were
two.
Like, these two.
Same two. And then one was a peppery flavor, and one had a, I say a round flavor.
Yeah.
Because I love a vodka that doesn't overwhelm your drink.
It just tickles your arm.
Yeah.
You look cute today. You do.
All right, so what am I making?
Before you do this, I have to bring this up.
Okay.
I was there 15 years ago. The last time I saw you and had dinner with you was because
he was cooking.
And I was there. But the setup you should know is this, because I actually felt very bad for him. So at that time, we're bro comics. I'm definitely broker. And so it was a treat for my wife and I.
Yeah.
We would go to Bert and Leanne's place.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, man. He would make really incredible dinner. Like I would walk away being like, this is like going to a restaurant. Like Bert would make elaborate meals and they were delicious. Like he would the whole time he'd be in the kitchen chopping stuff up, throwing in ingredients, and like it would be like a feast. And I was like, oh man. And then he goes, hey, I'm having one of my neighbors come tonight. He's a chef. So it's kind of it's kind of exciting.
Steps up my game.
Yeah, it's like, and there's like a little pressure to it. You're cooking for a guy that cooks for a living.
Yep.
And so I see him in there, chopping stuff up, adding things.
It was chili, I think, right?
Take the first bite, and I was like, holy shit, what did you do? He's like, I think I put in spice when I thought it was salt. And I was like, oh my God.
It was jalapenos instead of green chili.
Yeah, I remember.
It was supposed to be green Ortega
chili. That's right,
Roy,
and he put jalapenos.
I put 9 cans of jalapenos in instead of 9 cans of chili.
Tomatoes.
And I remember Roy looked at me and goes, how many jalapenos did you put in? I go, just one. And then 9 things of chili. He goes, uh-uh. And I remember saying to you, how do I fix it?
He actually, he proposed an idea. I remember that. At the time, you were like, well, you could, like, I forget if it was, like, put some sugar or something to, like, counterbalance it. And you're like, it's still edible. But then I was like, oh, man, he thinks you really don't know what the fuck you're doing because this is inedible.
I remember you went to your house and made yourself dinner.
Yeah, you're like, I'll see you guys later. Nice try.
I did.
Like, that's like when you're doing stand-up and they're like, guess who's coming tonight? The fucking president of show business is coming tonight. You're like, all right. And then you just eat shit. And the guy's like, no, I walked out during your set. It's like heartbreaking.
I remember that night is.
It was a departure from the norm, for sure, for him. He's always been a great cook.
Yeah.
He's a little embarrassed. I think what you said at the end of it was, I think the only way to fix this is to throw it in the trash.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you go, well, you just throw it in the trash. Yeah, yeah. I said, well, no, other than that, no, I think that's the only way to fix it.
That's the only way.
And it was so, Tom and I ate it. Tom was so broke, he ate it. Yeah, he was like, I'm going to have hot diarrhea tomorrow.
It'll be all right.
Oh,
that was some good times in that apartment.
I loved that. Our apartments were the sexiest apartments in the world. You remember that apartment?
Of course.
Like, 30-foot ceilings.
And you had the rooftop?
God. Rooftop. Damn. That little jacuzzi that held one person.
Right. But he was
I was just thinking about those days, like 2008, 2009, 2007. Just, I don't know. It was just like, even though we're all broke, it just seemed like a simpler time, you know? Like, even though it wasn't that long ago, it just seemed, I miss it.
I miss it. Yeah. I miss it a lot. I miss it. I wasn't on my phone.
Yeah.
I wasn't online.
That's right.
Every now and then, getting something online was, like, special. You remember Kyle Cease and Doug Stanhope thing went down? And I remember you came over and you were like, oh, and, but you still had to, like, how do I get this? How do I get this?
Or also, I remember we had a viewing party for your Comedy Central special in that apartment.
That's so funny.
We did.
Yeah.
That's so funny. We
comfortably
just,
dumb.
That, you know, that's 15 years ago today.
Yeah.
You wore your stupid shirt.
I know.
Yeah,
that was the era where comics still had those clips on Comedy Central, right? You would get those, and they would run those at night. I remember that.
Comedy Central was fucking huge.
Now it's Donald Reynolds. Fucking embarrassing now. It's like such a fucking shit show. You guys suck. We used to think you were the best. You're the worst.
What?
It's like Food Network.
Support for Something's Burning comes from 8 Sleep. At this point, I am certain you've heard of 8 Sleep. Their buzzworthy mattress cover, called the Pod, can be added to your existing mattress to automatically cool down or warm up each side of your bed and in turn improve your sleep quality dramatically. And I have proof of this, guys. The Pod cover by 8 Sleep fits on your bed like a fitted sheet. It includes seamless sensors that track your sleep and health while you sleep. Stay asleep with automatic temperature adjustments throughout the night to cool and warm as you need based on your personal sleep patterns and environment. It's clinically validated for deeper sleep, fewer wake-ups, and falling asleep faster. Here is my guarantee. So we put ours on our bed, right? It's really discreet. It's on the side of my bed. You can't even notice that it's there. It's a little thing. You get to an app, and then you set it up. My heart rate last night, all-time low, 52 beats per minute. And I'm telling you, it was because I slept cool. I did not sweat through the night because Leanne likes to sleep hot. I slept cool. I had zero wake-ups. Woke up this morning, 99% sleep last night. I'm telling you right now, I think it's because of 8 Sleep. Improve the way you sleep by using my link at 8sleep.com/burning for $200 off plus free shipping on their high-tech Pod 3 cover. That's 8sleep.com/burning for a better, smarter sleep.
I wonder, thinking about, like, especially, like, me and you, all the fucking great people we've been around and connected with. And look, we'll do Roy and Rogan. Do you think there's people in this world that just have never met anyone good?
No.
Or are we specifically good at identifying good? Like, I don't understand how, like, all of a sudden you go, like, we've known each other for that fucking long. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, or the fact that we liked Rogan before the podcast. Like, you know, like, there's something like, almost like you can pick out a good chef, like, can pick out good flavors and go, oh, let's make that, throw that in. You know, like, I mean, all the people, think about this, this will even blow your mind. Like, Shane Gillis gets canceled from Saturday Night Live, but I'm like, I still like him. And then all of a sudden, when no one likes him, and then he fucking skyrockets, Tim Dillon, Mark Norman, or like, just all these chefs, David Chang, these, it's crazy that like...
I think as humans, we all have the ability to interact and meet each other in fantastic situations. But a lot of people are, they don't trust themselves or are scared, you know? And I think what differentiates is like, you like double down on someone and dig in. And a lot of people are a little scared sometimes. And then, but everyone has the ability to connect.
Yeah, like I wonder if there's people who are like, yeah, I met that guy, told him to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
And then they're like, ugh.
Yeah, then there. But those are the people who are like, I go through that too, because
I'm a fan first. Because, you know, like my life didn't change until 15 years ago. And sometimes I'm like, I want to go up to someone that I really admire.
Like Bobby Lee?
Yeah, like Bobby Lee. And he's a dick, you know? He's a dick in that moment. And then I'm just like, you know,
Bobby,
I don't want to force this.
Bobby was like, hey, was a fan.
Let's put Bobby out
last. Let's put him on.
So I know Bobby. We go way back. I did this podcast. We're friends. We have mutual friends. And then we were at a party. I went up to him. Just like if I saw you, I went up to him. Hey, Bobby, what's up? Because I was a fan. He was like, Not right now.
What's up, Bobby Lee?
Bobby Lee.
All right, I should start cooking.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, this food.
So tell me, this is
a chef. This is
the
chef truck. We're in Best Friend right now, but I just opened a spot on the other side of the lobby called the Chef Truck with Jon Favreau. And
let's fucking talk about Jon Favreau.
Jon's a fan of you guys.
Of us?
Yes.
FaceTime. You know,
I said I was filming this with him.
FaceTime.
I'm Android, sorry.
Oh, you're Android?
Yeah.
Fucking.
He'll FaceTime.
That's how I protect Jon.
I FaceTime everybody.
Give me his number. I'll FaceTime him. I know you're a fan. Answer.
But I said I was filming with you guys. I was like, he knew you guys. I was like, whoa. You know, he made the movie Chef. And we have the Chef Show, which we had Bill Burr on. You know, he was one of our first episodes.
I love the Chef Show. And then,
oh, thank you.
The Chef Show.
And so we just turned that into the Chef Truck. So it's been like this trilogy. So
I can't tell you. I only work out watching food stuff. I put food on the TV. Dude, anything Asian is amazing. There's a show on Netflix just about
anything
broth.
Asian. Anything
just
Asian.
About broth.
That's a good name for a restaurant.
Anything Asian.
Yes.
By the way, Asian food is just better. It's
better.
Got like a
David Chang will tell you that. The thing that we say is if we could teach the rest of the world to eat like Asian people, shit would be all right.
You know, it was to do shows, but it was really a food tour. Like between Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Singapore.
Oh, shit.
Each place.
That's the best. That's
the trilogy,
trifecta,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it was, and here's the thing, even the Indian food in Hong Kong, which obviously has like Asian influences, but like, it was so outstanding. The dim sum was obviously outstanding.
Yep.
The Wagyu, we went to Wagyu Mafia, which was just,
but
here's
He's
the thing,
here.
I was just telling somebody else, and actually, Chef, who we were talking about, Philip Lee, was saying this. How, you know, in the States, a lot of time, when you stay in a hotel, let's say in whatever city, you're in fucking Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You stay in the hotel, like it's time for dinner. You're like, we got to get out of the hotel because otherwise we're going to have the dinner at the hotel. Yeah. Mostly.
Mostly, yep.
But in Tokyo.
The good restaurants are in the hotel.
The lobby restaurant has dinner that you would pay like an extraordinary amount of money, and it's the best you've ever had. Like the sirloin steak we had at the lobby of the Edition Hotel in Tokyo was top five steak I've ever had in my life.
But the truest thing about like Asian food and Asian kitchens is that it's like dishonorable to serve bad food, you know?
Right.
And that's what I think is the difference that maybe the Western world, you know, comprehend.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, out here sometimes, you know, I'm American through and through, but it's like sometimes we got to play a lot of places where people don't give a shit about food, you know, and they're just throwing it around, whatever. There in Asia, it's like, it's a dishonor to like serve this not exactly the way it's supposed to be. That's why anything from a 7-Eleven, like you said earlier, to a hotel lobby, it's not the usual tropes.
Because it extends beyond the kitchen. It felt like when you were in Asia that it's dishonorable to not do any job without
any job.
Pride.
Yeah. Yep.
And without, so basically, I think what you're saying, and I'll say it for you, is just Asians are better people.
Yes.
Yes.
Luckily, China's going to take us over. Luckily. And I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't believe how... Like, I've known you so long.
Yeah.
Tom is, you are genuinely passionate about food.
I love food.
It's crazy, like, how much you get excited about food.
Picking up on that, too, yeah.
Yeah, like, because you really do love, you've always, it's crazy that you're skinny and you love food. I remember when you're fat and you love food.
Well, that's the thing, is you have to go through the process.
He had hot sauce in his car.
Stop.
I'm being serious. He would travel with hot sauce just in case.
You're like the movie Selena, the boyfriend where you had the holster.
But here's the truth, and I've said it before. It's my wife's hot sauce. She's the one that travels with hot sauce.
Oh, okay.
Because we would go to Mama Yuka's on Vermont, Yucatan's, that little
Yuka's. Yeah, yeah.
And that was like Christina's spot. Uh-huh. They don't give you hot sauce. So she started to put Tapatio in the car and Cholula so that if we went there, she would have her own.
That's really funny. Smart.
So wait, so Chef
Chuck, Jon Favreau, you like Jon?
By the way, that movie's great. Yeah. The Mandalorian is fucking unbelievable.
What he does is crazy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, his best movie ever is Made. You ever see Made with
of
Vince?
Course.
Louis Anderson has my DVD. The outtakes of Made are the funniest thing I've ever listen to in my life.
Yeah, because it's just him and Vince.
I would argue that Vince Vaughn should never make another movie without Jon Favreau. He should just, because Jon Favreau knows him and loves him.
Yes.
And he makes him.
But he made a lot of movies.
I know,
since
but
then.
Whatever. But like Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn.
You're fucking up, man.
Jon Favreau should do all of Vince Vaughn's movies. But Jon Favreau can do all his own stuff, because he's amazing. But Vince, that guy loves that guy, and he shows him.
He puts him in the best
possible
light.
You know, yeah, and I think situation. I think it's. I don't know. I love Jon. I was on a plane flight with Jon Favreau.
You were
One time. Yeah, I didn't. I was not even close to famous at all.
Uh-huh.
But it got upgraded, and he was with his family.
You were right next to him.
I have certain moments in life where I go, and it's really shallow, but I'll share it. But I go, that would be cool. To be able to fly your whole family first class. I was getting upgraded. And I was like, man, can you imagine a time when you could fly your family first class? And I was like,
you know what's crazy? Is he has a butler now, he has a chauffeur.
Yeah.
He does.
What? He does not.
And I leapfrogged it. Now he just fly private. It's crazy. I don't need it. And now I look at Jon Favreau and I go, I'm better than him.
Yeah, you loser.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Why didn't you fly private? Yeah. Now I look at that and I realize
he wasn't doing that well. Iron Man.
Isn't that crazy though? That I look at certain things like, do you remember how crazy it was the idea of buying a house? Like the idea that you'd go to someone's house and you go, you guys own this? How did you do that?
Dude, keeping a positive bank account. When I was younger. That was some real shit. It was just like
fucking very real.
Like hundreds, like to have hundreds of dollars. Like constant in the bank, I'm like, wow, you know. Like,
when was at what point did you go? Oh, we're good.
I haven't done that yet. I'm in the restaurant business. Right? Yeah. I'm not a commie. I haven't let go of my breath yet.
Really?
Yeah, the restaurant business is hard.
It's crazy.
Man. It's hard.
Really?
No matter how big you get, you're always chasing the sun. You know, because our business relies on. So many expenses going out every day. If we have like three bad, you saw it in COVID.
Oh,
restaurants just falling up because doesn't matter how successful a restaurant is. If you have like four or five bad days in a row, it literally puts its foot on your chest and you could be closing. That's how bad the restaurant business is.
Really?
Yeah. But we do it because we don't know how to do anything else and we love it. We love taking care of people. It's like, I guess like when you guys were doing stand-up before, like when you're doing like staying in motels and doing shows and stuff like that. It's not really about the money. It's just, you know, it's about the craft.
You gotta love. That's what I love about this show. I love pleasing people. I love making, I have a hard time in conversation, but I love making people happy. And I love making meals for people. I love making people laugh. I like to host. I like everyone to have a good time.
Yeah.
Even like we did the blackjack tournament yesterday, I enjoyed welcoming people in and then finding them a seat. And then like his table was just fucking hot. I mean, it was literally, it was Will Compton, Taylor Lewan, Jason Kelsey, Tom, it was the wild, I'm leaving someone, I'm sure, but like, and it was crazy.
Wow.
Now, I think some people, I was at a different table, I was with Anthony Pettis.
The punter and the place kicker.
Yeah, technically. Well, no, Anthony Pettis is a fucking legend, but I was with Anthony Pettis and this
Baker
guy, Bo.
Mayfield.
No, he didn't show up until later. Now, what's crazy is most people would go, God, I wish I was that table. I think Anthony and Bo were thinking, I want to be at that table. But I looked at it, and this is crazy, but I go, I kind of sat that table. Like, I remember going, Jason, sit over here, and Taylor Lund, and Tom's already gambling, get in there. And I was like, fuck yeah. I felt pride in watching you guys have fun. And then I was like, well, now I got to make my table as fun so that the people I'm sitting with don't feel like they're missing out.
Blackjack tables? Or
blackjack tables. Oh, okay. And then Baker Mayfield and his wife showed up. I give her $1,000. She's like, so look at me. She goes, we have a lot of money. And I was like, I do too. And then I was like, at the end, I was like, did you want to give that back to me?
Give that back.
Emily, take care.
It was a prop.
Yeah. I was like, I was just spotting you. I was like,
yeah, it's not a gift.
She just put it in her purse and left. But we had so much. Then our table got really fucking hot, and we had really fun. I love making people happy.
Our table. You've been like rocking, that.
You haven't changed. You know, even when we were at the apartment, your house was like a welcome pad, you know?
And I love popping that door open and just leaving it open.
Just leaving it open.
I love that. I love that energy. So what am I making today?
I think we did it. Are we good?
Are we done?
Are we close? Well, should we just
still have to cook?
We gotta cook.
That's what I'm thinking. We can just have a great conversation.
I'll do it. Here, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna cook.
Okay. No?
All right, so we're going to keep the knife work at a minimum for you. You're going to have to cut the radish and the garnishes.
Okay, where's
there's a knife right there. Oh. And so just cut these as thin as possible.
This is how I'd cut green onions, okay? I cut it like that, and then I get rid of these, and then I'd go.
Beautiful.
Do you stop at the long parts?
No, the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
And then we'll take these off. We're good.
Yeah, you were good.
Yeah.
All right, so then now what we can do, Chef, should we start grilling first?
What are you gonna call us when you say, are we just Bert and Tom? We're not Chef?
You're just Bert and Tom.
What do you call it? Is there a dude who just washes dishes and you're like, dish?
That's a good question.
What do you call your newbies, like day one guys? Just by their name?
Sorry. Did anyone catch what I just did? I just threw the trash in the sink and he just went, that doesn't go
that
there.
That doesn't go there. Yeah, we don't call anyone chef except the chef. What do we call each other? I mean, we're called cooks and commis and dish, but we don't call each other that.
Yeah.
Just like you don't call a grip, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
We call each other by our names.
Yeah, yeah.
Cousin?
I call most of my cooks cuz.
Or cuz.
Fam. Yeah. What's up, fam? All right.
What's up, cuz? Okay. Yeah.
So we have a Kaibi short rib here. Three bone short rib. There's going to be bone here, 1, 2, 3.
I just realized something.
What's that?
So the big barbecue dinosaur ribs that you get, that's this cut that way.
Cross-cut.
Yep. Yeah, cross-cut.
What would be the reason? Like, I would assume if I'm selling ribs to someone, I'm going to sell them the long rib.
Well, there's also just a different way to cut it so that you can get more slices per pound. You know, and then also you cut it thinner because those big dinosaur cuts you have to braise. This, if you cut it thin, you don't have to braise it. You can just grill it.
It's an easier way to eat it.
Yeah.
Like the other one, you got to cook for like 3 hours, 4 hours.
Exactly.
This one,
this is a boneless of that.
My first finger fucking into Korean food. Like the first time I got one of these, I was like, shit, you get them at Trader Joe's frozen.
Yeah.
And you could grill them. And I was like, these are good. I make great Korean food. Watch this, Trader Joe's, dump it on.
I remember going to the first time in Koreatown, going to a spot on 6th Street, you know, and getting like kalbi, bulgogi, and being like, holy shit, this is what they're up to? And and the garlic, like the cloves on the when they gave you the grill were like enormous and all around it. And the flavor was just unbelievable.
Being Korean must be like dating Taylor Swift, and Travis Kelce's just like, she's just my girlfriend. And you're like, that's what they're like with food? And they're like, yeah, but if we got to take it one time, we'd be like, couldn't stop talking about it. You're like, I just grew up with it, man.
Yeah.
All right, are we grilling?
I didn't know where you were going with that, but I see where you're going.
I'm just trying to slide some Super Bowl stuff in.
Over here, and then.
Oh, fuck.
And then Bert, once he gets all the meat down, season the other side.
Sure.
Salt and pepper. Go ahead and get in there.
For both, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
There you go. All right, perfect. And season the other sides. There we go. Yeah, you can go ahead and start lathering them. And then...
Cousin, not now! I love the bear. You guys like the bear?
Oh, yeah. My friends, a lot of my friends are on that show. Like...
You know Maddie, right?
Maddie, Chris Storr, Courtney Storr, all of them.
Orange Ensemble.
This show is sponsored by Talkspace. Do you think seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or afford them? Try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your own home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy. It is all I do, and I'm telling you, online therapy is the best thing in the world. It's the best thing in the world. If they had had it in the 80s, I would have been in therapy earlier. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/burning. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/burning to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/burning.
Perfect.
I kind of like this version of Something's Burning.
And Bert, why don't you do the same thing?
Tommy's got more ribs for you, bud.
Okay. Do the same thing with these.
Places
and we're
going to
pop
too?
Those in the oven.
Pop them in the oven?
Glazies. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I'll put them in the oven.
Yeah, we're gonna glaze them. I'm gonna, Ryan, we gotta glaze them first.
Oh, you gotta glaze them?
Yeah.
Looking good, guys.
Underneath the sauce. Dip it. Just fucking do this, buddy. Just dip it in. Just take it and dip it in.
What?
It's like lube. You can't use too much.
Come on, man.
All right. You did a good job.
How long do you? This is a hot. This is a pretty hot grill.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. So, right around like 2 minutes now. You want like 3 minutes on each side. These guys, every like 30 seconds, you just want to like give them like a, what is that, a 90 degree turn?
By the way, Roy's recutting my green onions.
Of course.
I am. Yeah.
Roy, are you seeing this? I didn't. I caught it. Roy's recutting my green onions.
I looked at these. I'm like,
I want to do this. This is how we should do Something That's Burning. I kind of like this lifting, you know?
These are probably...
It's interactive. It's fun. I feel like I'm hosting. Hey, guys, welcome back to Something's Burning. My name is Bert Kreischer. I'm here with celebrity chef Roy Choi and my buddy Tom, comedian Tom Sercura. I've had two Jesus. Drinks. It's yeah. early.
All right.
Quick and like a band-aid.
Yeah.
God damn. Tom, do you cook?
I used to cook more. Now the servants do it.
The servants?
No. I don't cook as much as I used to, though.
You we know? Have a... It's... Yeah.
What do you guys eat on tour? Do you guys really have a chef on tour, or...?
Bro, I eat ribeyes every night.
Every night?
I eat a ribeye every night.
Come on, shout out Dave Williamson, too. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Roy, we got this buddy Dave Williamson, who's a great comedian, but he's a master barbecue guy.
Okay.
We would travel. Legit. We would travel with a Rectech smoker, a travel smoker. Uh-huh. He would set it up, put on an A5 Wagyu brisket at like 3 in the morning, stay up all night with it, watch it, baste it, fucking spritz it, and he would cook insane barbecue.
Unbelievable. Bring the smoker with
you. We traveled with fucking 2 travel smokers.
Holy shit.
In my tour bus.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's how you gain 50 pounds, though, too.
I think that's how I got so fat, for real.
Seriously.
Is that I was just eating and drinking all night.
So when you guys go on tour with the tour bus, is that tour bus yours or you rent it?
I owned it.
You own the bus?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm a tour
you
bus
hear that,
guy.
Joe Coy?
I'm more of a tour bus guy.
Yeah.
Tom will rent tour buses, but he's not like, he's more like a hotel guy.
Oh.
This guy offers.
All right, Bert, you're going to take you're gonna take Tom's meat.
And, ooh, I can't wait to take Tom's meat.
Take Tom's
meat.
I've been
waiting for this day.
And chop it up. Go ahead and just chop up everything without the bones. Take the bones out when you get to them. But just chop them up into small cubes.
Okay.
Because basically what we're doing is we're making taco meat.
Okay.
That should be good on that. Yeah. And then start chopping up a few of these. Once you chop everything flip up, these. Just kind of mix it together.
Yeah. Mix all the both meats?
Yeah, mix them together. This is going to be our taco meat.
Oh, my God.
Once you're done with that, go ahead and rinse that knife off in the sink right there. And now I'm going to have you cut the garnishes. These are the garnishes. So go ahead and cut the limes into quarters or eighths and cut these the same way.
Okay. Yes, chef. I love doing that.
That's what I like hearing.
Is that that's Favreau's favorite part, right? He loves being Favreau loves being in.
No, he loves learning.
He loves like he when I watch the chef show.
Yeah.
He loves fucking cooking.
He loves cooking. And he loves learning. Loves learning. And he's a sponge of information. And you know, for someone like John, he's always in charge, right? So it's like kind of great sometimes to really learn from someone else.
Yeah.
And I go through that too, being a chef all the time. You're always the one that has to have all the answers. But sometimes I love just being not the person.
Well, then we'll get you on stage, have you do stand-up.
Yeah.
You should do, what we should do is we should do stand-up at the South Beach Comedy, South Beach Food and Wine Festival and have teach chefs stand-up and have you do stand-up about like cooking.
Yeah.
Like where you're like, Man, I was in the weeds so bad one time, and everyone's like, been there.
Okay, so, all right. Why don't you walk Tom through re-searing this on the plancha? Okay, give it a quick da-da-da-da. Oh, nice. Look at you. Okay.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
All right.
I just put it back, or throw it away.
He's going to take you over there to sear the meats. So this is going to come together really quickly. But you can see everything is building blocks. It feels like it's taking forever, but what you're doing is you're doing the building blocks, and then in a second, you can see we're almost at the finish line. We're gonna be just making tacos and eating them, and then we'll move to the ribs.
Dude, how much money do you make on a taco? Like, what's the taco cost you, and then what do you make on it?
Pennies.
What?
We make pennies.
Really?
Yeah. If you're lucky in the restaurant business, you can make 10, 15% profit off whatever you're selling. But the lower the price of the item, the less the margin. So a taco, you can only sell for what? Like $2, you know, $1.50?
Yeah, what's that?
That's the oven.
Do you put a racehorse in there?
I know, so normal to me, but like, I love seeing the expression. But you know, you're selling something for $2. What kind, you know, it's like, by the time you make it, look how much work goes into it, right?
Yeah, and then you gotta pay me.
$2,
you gotta pay them.
You gotta pay everybody.
You
gotta pay rent. So by the time you're done, you got 15 cents.
So what's the thing you wanna sell the most of?
You wanna sell the most of salads and like bread.
Right, so you love basic white bitches.
Basic
white bitches are
I love y'all.
Easy,
love
Victoria. By the way, hold on. Victoria just went like this. Excuse me.
She stood up.
I know.
That's the trick to buffets. Buffets put all the starch first, the potatoes, rice, bread, all that stuff. That's all. Because it's just flour, water, and, you know, no money.
What's that?
This is our vinaigrette. So we're going to make the slaw for the tacos here. So you can put on this black glove, here's extra large, and go ahead and just mix that together.
Yeah.
Shit, I thought I would just be sitting down and talking shit while he cooks, but I got a little scared, so.
You know, I have like a rubber glove phobia.
Really?
Yeah, but it doesn't look bad with this watch. All right.
All right.
Woo, this is creepy.
Doing good. You're doing great, Bert. Okay, mix that together.
Wow.
All right, how's the meat? Doing good? All right. So, perfect.
Great.
Great job, you guys.
Ooh.
So we recooked the meat.
Fine. Was it good?
So that's the kogi meat. Kogi pasta.
Got it all over your shirt.
Mm. Put meat on there just like that. It was hot, so.
Yeah.
And you got the slaw going?
Yeah.
I'll build one for you, and then you can just follow.
Okay.
So with the sauce, two sauces, onion mix, and then slaw.
Yeah.
Right on top.
Well, did you already put the sauces on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just did one for you to show you. And then We'll take some limes and stuff, put it in there as garnish, but what I like to do also is just squeeze a lime over the
top.
Can't
take the chef out of the kitchen.
Look at that.
Oh, okay, so. Sauce.
No. Oh, put it over the middle.
Oh, sorry.
Like that. And then do the same thing with the green.
Yeah.
And then the onion mix, and then the slaw, and a little bit of lime.
And then?
Onion mix.
Onion mix.
Onion mix right there, yep.
Onion mix.
Put that over the top. But this is a big deal, because this is like my baby. This is the Kogi Taco being made by Bert Kreischer.
It's like my machine.
I never imagined this.
This is like
in the history of Kogi that the only person outside of Kogi making the Kogi Taco would be Bert Kreischer.
This is what set it off.
This is the taco.
This is it.
Yeah, this is the, and then slaw over the top. Okay.
This needs a little more.
And then squeeze lime over the top.
Squeeze lime.
Okay.
What's the lime add?
Acidity, punch, balance, flavor.
Those are fucking sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and grab any taco you want, and then let's take a bite.
Oh, I gotta take this thing off. I can't eat with rubber gloves. It freaks me out. I feel like a doctor's putting his fingers in my mouth. Yo. Oh, my God, it's pouring out. Look at this.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Mmm.
I can see why it became a hit.
This is the one, man.
This is it.
Wow.
So imagine 2008, the first, there's nothing like this.
Yeah.
And this flavor just pops on the scene.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, you know what this is like?
Just like, it's almost like it came from outer space.
I'll
you
tell
know?
You what this is like. This is like when you first heard Wu-Tang.
Yes.
And you're like, the fuck is this?
Is Method Man?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is Wu-Tang.
Yeah, you're RZA, dude.
I think he's more Method Man. I was like, does he have a breathing problem?
It's a great example. It's like, because you've never heard it before, and then you hear it, and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. What is that?
What is that?
And then you're like, I fucking like it.
My parents, they loved it. They were just like, make some kind of money one day.
Leanne Kreischer. Come in and get a taco.
Yeah. Leanne.
Buddy, I was gonna be the best part of my life. No celebrity shit, no money shit. For his daughter's birthday, he'd bring the taco truck out to cater his daughter's birthday parties. And I could eat all of it.
Oh, that's
right. He was paying for everything. I'd just eat nonstop. I wouldn't leave the taco truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, ribs.
Ribs.
That's so good.
Right? Mm-hmm. I made that.
That's it so just, good.
And you saw how many steps go in there, but we don't try to overpower people with, like, what's inside. We just, like, eat it. But it's because of all those steps, the flavors, the layers.
So good.
Oh, dang it. And it was right there. Like, it was right there.
You used to bring this home to the girls,
I used
remember?
To bring it home, yeah.
You did it for dinner. You'd show up at tacos, we'd be so happy.
Tom, I like you cooking. You should have a cooking show.
Yeah.
You want to just take something's burning for a while?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. And do plate up the other one, too.
Should we just two-bear some all my projects?
And, Bert?
Yeah.
Take the thinner ones and then garnish the top.
Sure.
Just let it fall. Let it rain, fall naturally. There you go, that's good. And then take some sesame seeds. And then again, just let it fall naturally. Look at that. That's professional restaurant plate up. Yeah.
I just made a mess in the kitchen.
All right, you do the same thing?
Sure.
Let me give you room.
Whoa.
There you go.
So good, then right?
Sesame seeds.
Oh, yeah. Sesame seeds sell it. They really sell it. Can I tell you? They look like white guy ribs, and now they look like Asian guy ribs. Right? The sesame seeds, you're like, oh, yeah, that's going to be better.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Please.
It's like when you're watching the Olympics, you know? And it's like, here's the American team, and then it's like, the Asian gymnast walks out, you're like, we're getting the gold, dude. These guys are fucking real deal.
Fuck.
All right, so these
man, I love a rib. Fuck, look at that. Literally. Yeah.
This one's a little bit of a different style. Try that, this one is oven baked.
This is oven baked?
Mm-hmm. And then that one's grilled.
So good.
Yeah.
Liam.
Can I grab that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I want to try a grilled one.
Here.
Yeah, and you were responsible for cooking the whole thing.
This is 1,000% me. What am I going to do here?
It's 100% you.
Oh, my God. It just fell off the bone.
Yeah.
I'm shaking.
It's good, right? It's like
oh, it's fucking perfect.
Sticky, a little bit of a chew, crispy, but then like glazed.
Oh, my God. It literally fell off the bone.
Yeah, and then the flavor goes all the way through the meat because we braised the rib before we...
Whoever kept painting it with sauce did such a good job.
That's amazing.
It's really, so perfectly sauced, Tom.
God. Yes, good job.
I can't imagine if you had not had Jonathan in here to go, no more.
No, I would have actually been like, I think we did it. We're good. No.
And that was the key. It's just all those layers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's take everything over to the table. Come on down. Show's not over yet.
Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this. Now, through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right. No cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boosts. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer.
These
are two
grills.
And
this
that's a grill. Okay.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We usually oven bacon. We might change them to the Tom Segura grill.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we did this just for our show because... our ribs usually just go in the oven. That's not exciting.
The flavor is just, right? The whole...
And it softens the meat up
more. It softens it up differently. I noticed that the grilled ones all are falling off the bone.
Oh, the grilled ones are really nice. I like that. Man, what is the sauce when you do these pickles?
Uh-huh.
Is there a peanut butter in there?
No, it's sesame oil. That's what you're getting, Faye.
Oh,
sesame oil. These are our pickles. This is kimchi.
How do you get your kimchi?
We make it. That's a kimchi room right there.
No fucking way! Shut up!
That's a kimchi fermentation room right there.
By the way, remember I told you earlier my wife's obsession?
Mm-hmm.
So she started watching, I guess, TikTok videos and is making kimchi at home.
Oh, shit.
Not in a fucking room. I'm not giving her that. But she's doing, like, her own kimchi.
For real?
You're going to have obsessed, to buy another refrigerator soon.
Really?
Yeah, because that's how serious it gets with kimchi.
She loves it, dude. It's like every other day.
How do we franchise you?
I've been trying to figure that out.
Because I bet there's people that are like, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, because there were people, when he started Kogi, there was a guy that opened one called Asian Pussy, right?
What?
Kuji. What? It's called Pussy.
What?
There's a guy that copied him, but he spelt it wrong, and it said Asian Pussy.
That would fucking sell. That I would sign up for.
By the way, I've never had it. I've heard good things.
I've heard it. I've had it before.
You had it?
It's unbelievable. Yeah, if you want to go into a business, I'm all about that Asian pussy.
Sell Asian pussy. That's it. I bet that thing jumps off the shelf.
By the way, it's popular all over the world. The guy just misspelled it?
Yeah, right?
He misspelled it, yeah.
He misspelled it. Grids were lined up.
This place is unbelievable.
Figure it out.
They go to Roy's truck and they go to his truck. Can I tell you the taco truck I wanted to open? I think I pitched this to you. I wanted to do a taco truck called Sauces, where I just have every sauce that you could ever imagine,
and
I pull up and I pull up next to trucks and go, "You guys need mayonnaise?"
Huge margins, man. Huge, huge margins.
Guys, we're out of ketchup. I love sauce.
Where are you locations-wise now? Like, how many?
L.A.
L.A. is is trucks?
L.A. is trucks, and I have a bar called the Alibi Room that we serve Kogi at. We partner with a the bar owner, and we run the kitchen. He runs the bar.
And you have this.
Now I have two in Vegas. I have the trucks in L.A. and a bar.
Where can I get that dish I had at Pot? Do you know the one I'm talking about? The crazy...
The soup one?
The fucking soup one.
We have it here. We have Sindhu Bujjigae here.
If you are coming to Vegas,
yeah,
this is where you have to stop to eat. This is the one stop, the Thank one you. Must. You've got to get the tacos. You've got to get... This soup is... Because we went to Pot one time, and you're like... And they're like, Chef has everything coming out, but this is what's special. What is that soup? It's a...
That one was a jjigae. Jjigae is like a stew, spicy stew with like... It could either have seafood, pork, beef, whatever you want, tofu, like a cauldron.
It's like a cauldron
of like the most tasty, dankiest shit that you could ever have in the world. You
know? I fucking love soups.
Yeah.
I really love
soups. I love soups too.
Georgia, right before she went back to college, she goes, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I wouldn't mind a soup for breakfast. Mm. Man, I've never felt more of use as a father.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't drink on that flight. I went out to Ralph's, bought a bunch of shit, and I stayed up all night smoking weed and making soup.
Really?
And I was so excited. And she came in the next morning. She was like, yo, you got the soup? And I was like, yeah. And we made her soup. And then we boxed up a bunch of soup for her to take home. And on her ride home, was eating, texting me pictures of the soup.
Yeah.
Feeding your child
is
the funnest thing as a parent.
Yeah.
In my heaven, when I go to heaven, I will be making breakfast for my daughters and their friends. That's my favorite thing I've ever done in my entire fucking life.
Why you gotta wait till heaven? Do it here.
I do it here, but they're all gone. They're all in college now.
Oh, yeah.
And so I have to wait until like Christmas and they all come over and just like making badass sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches. Getting up and setting up bacon
I love cooking breakfast, like when they have sleepovers.
When they have sleepovers.
Yeah.
That when they compliment you, like Ellis, every night, my 8-year-old, like he eats like a bird throughout the day. And then at night, he always wants a grilled cheese.
Uh-huh.
But I started to buy special breads.
Better cheese.
Mixed cheeses. Throw in some meat in there. Then you butter the bread. You start like, and then he's like, your grilled cheese? Way better than mom's grilled cheese. And I'm like, that's what's up, dude. And don't ever forget it. It's because I care more.
Yeah. Because I'm a man.
Yeah.
And then we work better than them.
And then he'll say shit like, hey, make dad's grilled cheese. And she's like, what's dad's? I'm like, you're not even capable of pulling this off. Like, I'll do this for him. But giving like seeing your own kid just like smile with what you fed them is the greatest feeling. It's the greatest.
It's the best, yeah. Definitely.
I wish I'd had more kids.
It's not too late, dude.
It's not too late.
I know. Well, with that one, it is.
No, it's not.
Most of those oil fields are dry.
Just go on tour without her and make some kids.
Yeah.
I wish she would let me get her a sister wife.
Yeah, sure.
Where I'll get her pregnant repeatedly. I want 6 more kids.
Yeah.
Leanne will raise them. I'll come back off the road on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Say hi, make some grilled cheeses, a soup.
Yeah.
Bounce.
Utah. Yeah. Utah, baby.
Dude.
Buddy, I wish I could just get my wife to understand the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
I leave it around the house. I tell her what a great man John Smith was.
Dude, she could get it. You got to immerse her in the culture. You got to move to Utah for a minute.
Yeah.
I broke all my rules for my diet today. I broke all my rules.
Is this
so
on
happy.
The diet?
It is on the diet.
I always see you going through all these stages. No drinking, no carb. What's the ultimate goal? Do you want to be... skinny and
unrelatable.
Yeah, unrelatable.
Yeah.
Rich, I want people to go. Skinny
I got it. Joe Rogan had a heart, came up to me. Do I tell you this? And he's like, you're too jacked. You're too jacked, man. Your shoulders are distracting. And I was like, I did it.
Yeah.
I did
good.
It. If Joe can't see me with my shirt off and not think I look hot, I did it. He said it to Leanne. He's like, he's ripped. He's fucking ripped. You gotta put a shirt on. And I was like,
I did think that for a second too. Your latest pictures where you have a flat stomach.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Hey, here's the thing. I gotta be honest with you.
I got a little hard. I got a little hard. I got a little hard. I did. I swear. I was like, oh.
Here's the thing: is like, I there was a period of time where I don't think I inspired people to like life.
Yeah.
Like I was just looked sad.
Yeah.
I just want to look happy, and so whatever happy looks like, I want people to go. Oh, he's doing good. Like, I think there was a period where Tom had said to me maybe 12 times, I'm worried about you.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that's what people saw. Like, I thought I was doing fine because I was working and I was making money.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, I'm worried about everyone. Bobby Kelly was worried about me and he got lap band surgery. So, like, So like I just now
yeah,
I just
but
go.
You took the reins though, dude. You did it yourself. You didn't ask. It wasn't because of anybody. You just decided, I'm gonna be healthier. Yeah. You know, took control of your own shit.
That takes a lot because you were building your brand based on chugging a, downing a whole fifth of whatever, and then like, wow, I'm taking your shirt off. And,
as you hold.
You know, I've grown a lot, Roy.
Yeah, you've grown.
I've grown a lot. Something's burning. I love you to death, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.